I'd like to read this morning the 55th Psalm, Psalm number 55. Psalm 55. A psalm of 23 verses, but I think we'll read it all. Psalm 55. Reading from verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and I make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then, would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongue. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it. Upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them. And let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes. They're not changing. They don't change because they have no changing. Therefore, they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil. Yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. For thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of this great psalm this morning. I would guess that, like me, when it comes to reading from the Psalms, you would maybe prefer more likely to turn to one of those great psalms of praise. Like, bless the Lord, O my soul, the 103rd Psalm, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Or maybe the 107th, which opens up with the great words, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Or maybe, like me, some of your favorite psalms would be the first psalm, that lovely psalm of the blessed man. And you can see him, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, a leaf that doesn't wither, and that perpetual fruit bearing. We love to read the first psalm. On a day like today, I often think of the 19th Psalm, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." That psalm that goes on to talk about the sun rising, it says the sun comes forth like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It says that the tent is his canopy, the sky is his canopy, and the sun traverses the sky and it comes down at the other end of the earth in that lovely sunset. The 46th Psalm talks about a river. The streams thereof that make glad the city of God. Or like many, we love to turn to the 23rd Psalm and see the still waters and to see those green pastures and still waters. And I often imagine the shepherd sitting on the hillside and watching over the sheep. They have grazed all morning and now they've settled down. I always imagine the shepherd, he maybe has a piece of grass in his mouth like the sheep have. And he's thinking and he looks over the flock and he says, "You know the Lord's my shepherd." Oh, we love those psalms that remind us of the trees and the bright days and the good days and the bright skies and the sunshine. And we love the colours and we love to see the rivers and the still waters and the green pasture. And I don't think we turn to psalms like Psalm 55 that much. I don't tend to. I imagine like others, we're maybe not that familiar with this one. But all days are not bright sunshine. And the Psalms, in the Psalms, we have all of life's experiences. There are many difficult days. There are many days when it rains and pours. And that's what we have in this Psalm. We see the psalmist on his verse 4, for example, he says, "My heart is sore pained within me." Life's not all bright days and good days. We've many difficulties to contend with. And this is where the psalmist is in Psalm 55. The background to this psalm would seem to be the events of 2 Samuel in chapter 15. 2 Samuel in chapter 15, Absalom is rebelling against his father. And he's conspiring against his father. And he's like a politician pre-election. When he's meeting people and it says that he stands at the gate and people who come to David for counsel, Absalom draws them to one side and he says, "You know, under me it would be a lot different. And things would be so much better." And he's making like pre-election promises that all the politicians make. And it says in 2 Samuel 15 that Absalom, indeed, everybody he met, he says, he took their hand and he kissed their hand. And it says that Absalom, he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And he spoke words of slander, malicious words, and spread falsehoods against David. In verse 3, what's David's problem? He says it's the voice of the enemy. He says it's they cast iniquity upon me. And so Absalom has won the hearts of the people. City is a city of unrest. And we don't have a rural scene in this psalm. Verses 19 to 11, it's all about the city. David would prefer the green pastures and still waters, and so would we all. But verses 9 through to 11 talks about the city. It's a grey day and difficult days in the city. And certainly for David, there's violence and there's strife and there's wickedness. And there's conspirators and they're meeting in the dark. There's a fire of insurrection, but it's being smothered. Absalom has kindled it and fanned it. And others are joining him. It would seem that David perceived this even before he left the city, because the result is that David has to go into exile and leave Jerusalem. But this fire that seems to be smothered, and David perceives there's things not right, indeed it's dangerous for him to be there. And when he does leave the city, this fire, it just breaks out into an open flame. Do you see how he describes the city? He says there's mischief and sorrow and wickedness and deceit and guile. He talks about the walls of the city in verse 11. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow in the midst. He talks about the street in verse 11. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from our streets. Some suggest that in rallying co-conspirators against David on the walls, maybe he had some of the military coming on side, those who would stand guard to protect and look out as watchmen over the city on the walls. David says there's mischief in the walls. Maybe he got the traders and the businessmen of the streets. Things would be a lot better. There'd be grander times under me. You could imagine that. That those that worked in the streets, they gathered and rallied round behind Absalom. And the good king, his name is defamed. And the city is infiltrated and David is exiled. And Absalom is welcomed. Not only the city, but we see in verse 12 through to 14, we see his companion. David has been badly let down by one very close to him. Again, from 2 Samuel 15, it would seem that that man's name is Ahithophel, or maybe it's Ahithophel. But a man who was a confidant, not an enemy. The words as he describes him, a man, my equal. David didn't consider this man inferior. A man who was my guide, the word might be better translated companion. A man who is my guide. A man who is my equal, mine acquaintance. This is one of those severe blows, you know, when it comes to unexpectedly that here's a man and he's thrown in his lot with Absalom. He feels sadly let down. Spurgeon says the spiritual eye would see the son of David in this psalm. And it would see Judas in this psalm, as we heard about Judas last Lord's Day evening. Not an enemy. If it had been an enemy, I could have borne it. Nor was it one that hated me, that stood up against me. No, if it had been that, I could have hid from him. David says, no, it was a man my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. In fact, we took sweet counsel together. In fact, we even walked up to the house of God together. Such was this man, this companion of David's. Ahithophel, Absalom. They rallied the town against the city against him. And that's where this man is. He's been reproached. And he's been oppressed, his language. And he's in fear of his own life. Verse 4, my heart is sore pained. And then whenever you come down to verse 16 of the psalm, when you consider where he finds himself, the situation he finds himself in, the circumstances and what's going on around this city, David says, as for me, how am I going to react to this? How do I deal with this? As for me, verse 16, David says, as for me, I'm going to call upon God. I'm not going to fight fire with fire. I'm not going to try and fight back and match them. No, as for me, I'm going to call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. I read these words last Saturday morning in our day of prayer, because I just felt that that's what we were doing. That's what we are doing. As for me, we're going to call upon God. In verse 17, we did it last Saturday evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. I just thought that seemed appropriate to last Saturday in our day of prayer. And this is what David's doing. As for me, I will call upon God. David's course of action, it was faith toward God. From verse 16, when you come on down, we see he says then again, similar words for calling upon God. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. If you forget everything else I've said this morning, I would like you to latch on to those words today. This little text this morning, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Whenever I looked at that, I immediately looked at this word, burden. And I wondered what it is, and what was David's burden. David calls upon God in verses 1 and 2, 16, 22, and he's calling upon God because he's heavily burdened. Verse 3 says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. That's part of David's burden. He says, verse 3, they cast iniquity upon me. He says, verse 4, my heart is sore pained within me. In verse 5, he talks about fearfulness and trembling, and horror hath overwhelmed me. That's where he is. In verse 9, he talks about the storm, the tempest, David's burden, because of the state of the city, because of Absalom's rebellion, because of Ahithophel's betrayal. David is in turmoil and in danger. He's oppressed. He's overwhelmed. He's in a storm. And what's he going to do about it? As for me, I'm going to call upon God. Cast all thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I wonder today, let's set David aside for a moment. I wonder what your burden is today. I wonder, can you identify with the psalmist in Psalm 55 today? I wonder, do those words like oppression and oppressed and a heart so pained, does that describe you this morning? Is that where you find yourself? Burden. What do we talk about when we mean burdens? What do we talk about when we talk about burdens? Burdens that people contend with. I jotted some down. I jotted down physical illness and pain and spiritual doubts and mental and emotional distress and family problems and financial pressures and frustrated ambitions and depression and low self-esteem and loneliness and broken relationships and regrets and guilt and bereavement, disappointments and shattered dreams. Why, what we long for most of all eludes so oft our eager hand. Why, hopes are crushed and castles fall. There's so many things that's hard to understand in life. Yes, I noted down what I thought were burdens that just sprang to mind. Then I did something else. I looked at the list. And I asked myself, how many of these have you experienced? Maybe not right now, but in your lifetime. And I started to count, you know. And out of about 13 or 14, I thought I had about 7. Then I asked myself another question. Many of these have you today, or this week, or recently? Be honest, you see. And I looked again. Well, to tell you the truth, I thought 3 or 4 were there. Physical illness and pain, spiritual doubt, mental, emotional distress, family problems, financial pressures, frustrated ambitions, low self-esteem, loneliness, broken relationships, regrets and guilt, bereavement and disappointments and shattered dreams. How many could you identify with? Yes, there are many burdens, and we all have them. And younger folks, if you don't have them, you listen carefully, because there will come a day when you will have them. And David says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Yes, he never suffered the righteous to be moved. And I made a note during the week, earlier on in the week, and I put down a burden to try us. I sort of thought this text had 3 parts to it, a burden to try us, and a duty to exercise us, cast it, and then a promise to bless us, a promise to encourage us. He shall sustain thee. A burden to try us. When we think of burden, we think of heavy load, we think of weight, we think of something that's onerous and difficult. Psalm 38, for my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden, they're too heavy for me, and that relates to sin. And we're all familiar with the great hymn, would you be free from your burden of sin? A weight. Something that weighs down heavily upon us. Whenever you look for the meaning of the word burden, as we have it here in Psalm 55, the meaning surprised me. It's the only time in the Bible, I think, where the word is put down as burden, when actually the meaning might be gift. That's unusual. What does this little text mean when it talks about burden? It seems to mean this: that which he has given thee to bear. That's where the word, the root of the word seems to be gift. Something that's been given to you to bear. Burden. Now, when you get that, you then ask, well, who's the giver? And God has allowed it. God has allowed it. Ah, Job could say, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, he talked about a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. My, he prayed that it would be removed. He said, I prayed thrice, just like we have in our verse 17, evening, morning, and noon. He said he was praying continually that God would remove this burden, this thorn in the flesh that was hindering him. So he thought, I would be such a great, I could do such a better work without this burden, without this thorn in the flesh. Ah, but the answer wasn't that it was removed. Paul was to learn that God allowed it. And what about Job? Great man of Uz, the great man of the East. God says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? None like him in all the earth, perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." And Satan says, "But sure you put a hedge about him. Take away all those things that you've blessed him with, and we'll see what he's like." And God says, "Right, go ahead." And it says that Job lost his family and his flocks and all that fortune that he had. And Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all that, Job sent not. Then the devil says, "But let me, what about his flesh and bone? Let me have him. Let me have him properly." And he's smitten with boils from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, and he's sipping. And he's scraping himself with a potsherd. Listen to what his wife says. "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Why don't you curse God and die?" And Job said, "You're speaking as the foolish women speak. If I receive good from evil, if I receive good from God, ought I not receive evil from God? The good and the bad. Just not going to praise God when the sun is shining. Going to continue with our faith in God when things are against us. No, it's not a burden to try us. It's a gift. That which has been given to us to bear." And so I took my pen the other day, burdened to try us. I stoked it out. But I put a gift to enrich us. I prefer it that way. A gift to enrich us. Paul says, "The very thing that buffeted me, I now realize it was a blessing. Not now, but in the coming years. Maybe in the better land. We'll read the meaning of our tears. Then sometime we'll understand. So much you can't understand. But we won't trust in God." Yes, I looked at the word burden and I decided to consider it as a gift that enriches us. And then I looked at the word cast. He says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." And then I wondered, what's casting? What is casting? Spurgeon says, if God in his wisdom gave us something, a burden to bear, well then it would be wisdom of us to cast it back upon him. Just refer it back to the Lord. "Lord, you've given me a burden to bear. I find it mighty heavy. Lord, you're going to have to help me to carry this burden." Casting. I consider this a grace that enables us, a grace to enable us, that we can cast. Oh, the lovely Christian grace of prayer. We can cast, we can fling, we can throw. Cast it all upon the Lord. Notice how David casts his burden. He pleads with God in verse 1. "Give ear to my prayer. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend to me. Hear me. Listen to me." He wants God to be a listener. It's so easy, you know, when beset for problems and difficulties, you can self-destruct, you know. Or you can sit and you can wallow in self-pity. Well, the inclination might be to run away. Just get away from it all. That's what we have in verse 6. David says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove and I would just fly away and leave all the problems behind me. That doesn't work, you know. No matter what destination you might arrive at, you're still the same problem in the same heart. I know a fellow in my banking days. I wondered what had happened. His account, the state it was in, and the expenditure. And this fellow I knew well. He's going to get himself in financial difficulties. My wife's not well. My wife's depression. And we decorated the house and we put in a new kitchen to try and lift her. And then they went on a holiday, not just any holiday, I think they went to Florida or somewhere, to try to pick her up. And then the next time I see him, the fellow himself looked so ill and run down. Cold sores round his mouth, blotches in his face. He looked terrible. They had been on another holiday. And all the problems were still there, regardless of where the destination. In fact, they exacerbated. They then had financial problems. He can't run away. No, no. That was just wishful thinking. And David knew that. He can't run away. You need to face it. And so he calls upon God. Verse 2. I mourn in my complaint. It says, the word mourn, it seems to mean he wanders or he rambles. He lets loose all his sorrows. He just seems to rehearse all his grief and perplexities and anxieties and he pours them out before God. I mourn in my complaint. And then he says, I make a noise. It says he moans. He just sort of groans noisily. Maybe he's sobbing like a child. And they're speaking and crying at the same time and you can't make out a word they're saying. But he's not concerned with vocabulary. And he doesn't seem to be concerned with phraseology. What he's saying is maybe incoherent. Groanings that cannot be uttered, says Spurgeon, are often prayers that cannot be refused. The Spirit makes intercession for us. If you can't find the words, don't worry about it. A waking heart with sorrow torn, my Lord is near and knows. Knows it all. Footway worn, the weary cares and wounds. And you might not have the exact words, but what do when you're confronted by a burden and problems? What do? You just bring it to the Lord. Don't worry about the words. He understands my tears. He understands when all I can do is cry. He feels the hurt that no one can see down inside. And when my words get in the way, I know he still hears. For he understands my tears. And this is how David approaches his problem. He just cries out at 10, oh, listen to me. I mourn. I'm just making a noise. But the Lord knows. Ah, he knows. O lonely one, live thou thy best. Thy Lord is near and knows. He knows it all, sees every test. Yes, every tear that flows. Rejoice, faint heart, his way is best. Thy Lord is near. He knows. Yes, a gift to enrich us, that burden that God has given to us. A grace to enable us, cast upon the Lord. A guarantee to encourage us, he shall sustain thee. It doesn't say he'll remove the burden. It just says, he shall sustain thee. Isaiah 40 says, he giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might, he increases strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He shall sustain thee. Surely, the great chapter, Isaiah 53, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I mentioned Paul earlier on, that thorn in the flesh. What was Paul's answer? The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Jacob, he sustained Jacob. Jacob was going out. There was so much lay ahead of him. He had a great dream one night. Behold, a ladder. And on the ladder, the angels of God ascending and descending. Going to meet Jacob's every need. Jacob, you're not alone. You might think you're alone. You're not alone. The Lord stands at the top of the ladder, directing the traffic, and was praying all the blessing and all that Jacob needed, meeting his every need. The angels are ascending and descending. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. It's a gift to enrich. There's a grace to enable. There's a guarantee to encourage us. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. We're singing in closing.